Hello, my name is Chip Lang, and you are listening to Total EM. After some recent discussions on some different forums, I realized that even though I never thought I'd have to talk about this, I'm actually going to have to talk about HIPAA. And HIPAA, for those of you who are outside the United States or simply the undoctrinated yet, that is the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act of 1996. And why does this matter? Well, it protects patient privacy, essentially. And we call it specifically Protected Health Information, or PHI. The reason why this matters is because we have to be extremely cautious, no matter where we are, with sharing patients' information. In fact, usually the best way to go is just simply not to talk about patients specifically. But for different reasons, sometimes people will think that they need to share a specific scenario or event, and so they get in trouble for it later. And this came up with the group that I am with, where some people are posting stuff, whether or not it was actually HIPAA compliant, that's a whole separate issue. But after some conversations with some colleagues, it was decided that maybe we should just go ahead and have this podcast so we can remind people not to do stupid stuff and share things that are not appropriate. So long story short, this is just going over some of the key details and some techniques I use when I want to share things in social media without getting anywhere close to a HIPAA violation. All right, so the first part with all of this is, when you are doing this, when you want to share information, a lot of times you just want to share it. Maybe you have a cool story. Maybe you are actually looking for some feedback from colleagues, whatever the case may be. This is where we usually get in trouble. And a lot of times the information that's included violates one of the 18 identifiers that HIPAA specifically lists or mentions. And I'm not going to go through all the identifiers, but basically they're things like certain types of numbers, such as Social Security or medical record numbers, even phone or fax numbers, email addresses. But the big ones that we usually run into are names, geographical locations, and dates. These are the ones that you are usually listing when you're talking about something. The other, of course, are some form of photos or other identifiers that you can use on the patient. This even includes things like voice prints or other biometric identifiers. But again, the main thing that we see here are issues with pictures, dates, and names, along with geographical locations. So this is where we get into the biggest amount of trouble, is when we're sharing this type of information. Well, then how do we get around this? This is actually pretty easy, guys. You don't mention it. Now, when I want to talk about this, I want to talk about some details. So names, usually just change the name entirely. That's the easiest way to go about it. Don't include a full name, obviously, or a last name or someone's initial. Just completely change the name. Easiest way to do that. Geography, basically anything that is larger than the state or at the state level is great. So I live in Missouri. I see patients in Missouri. That's good enough. I don't include specifics. Like, I'm not going to say, for example, St. Louis, Kansas City, stuff like that. Technically, I could probably get away with that. But why bother? Does that location actually make a difference? Maybe it's helpful when I talk about patients in Missouri because they may have different risk factors or issues compared to someone who's living in Alaska or maybe Florida. But do I even need to mention that in most cases? Probably not. And so I usually don't. What about dates? So HIPAA recommends that you need to keep it at a year. Well, if that's the case, then I just specifically don't mention the dates in most cases. This is not the time to say, well, I recently saw a patient last week or just last shift or stuff like that. When you do that, you put yourself in an odds. Now, one of the things that can help me out in my specific case is I work at a bunch of different places, or at least I do at different times. And if you work at one place your entire career, or at least if you're at the beginning of your career, you need to be especially cautious on this, because it's not like you have this broad experience from all these different locales and stuff like that. So geography is already a bit of a challenge for you. You don't need to add to it by making a more specific date, because I can pretty quickly figure out where this all happened. So again, with dates, just try and avoid it whenever possible. Again, year is what HIPAA recommends, but a lot of times if you just leave the date out, don't make it super obvious, you can probably get around this safely. And as far as pictures and images and stuff like that, just don't do it. If you're going to include images that can at all be possibly identified with the patient, make sure you have written consent. In fact, you should do that for any of this stuff, at all possible. Get written consent, especially if you are potentially going to share any of these identifiers. But if you're not going to include any identifiers, not going to include any images, just make sure you have properly de-identified information. And HIPAA has its own page. We'll include that in the show notes about how to de-identify and make sure you've properly de-identified. But they even still mentioned there is a potential that you could still accidentally share information. So avoid it. Simply don't include those things. With images, though, obviously sometimes maybe it's an x-ray, CT, ultrasound, MRI, whatever. We end up sharing that when we see this all the time. Outside of written consent, the big thing is making sure you're doing things that aren't obviously identifiable. Something that I see some people do is they make sure that they get all the original information off, which is a big, big one. That's one of the easiest ones to do. But they don't even keep the original image. What they'll do is like they'll screenshot the original image. And that way, when you try and pull up, because there are ways you can actually pull up information on images well after they've been done, even with a third source and stuff like that. So what they'll do is they'll screenshot the image and then redo it. Now it just has stuff from your phone. It doesn't have actually anything from that specific date or stuff like that. That's a lot of work, but if you're going to share images, you need to avoid anything possible. Obviously, making sure that all dates or numbers or stuff like that have been removed as well. And then a lot of times people that I've noticed who do this the best way, they tend to take images from one patient, give a whole different patient scenario, ones that they've made up. The great way to do this is take a scenario that you want to talk about. Don't include any of the original details of that patient. Take your history from a couple of different patients. Combine these in ways that will still make sense for the story, but doesn't include anything that would be a single patient. So maybe you take the story of a 24-year-old asthmatic, combine that with a 50-year-old COPD-er. One was male, one was female. Now we'll just add in some things from other just kind of random experiences. Next thing I know, I have a 32-year-old male who has nothing that is similar from the others and just kind of blends it all in. And by basically making up a scenario or combining a lot of different scenarios, you avoid the identifiers. As long as you're keeping out key details that I could then say, oh, wait, I can Google that and find the information. That is what we want to try and avoid. And that is one of the easiest ways to do that. Something else that's just worth keeping in mind, had this moratorium, there are different ideas of how long you should avoid telling a story. I again think the biggest thing is do not put any dates with it. Don't say this was last shift. Don't say this was recently. Just don't include a time. The other thing with that too, I already kind of mentioned it a little bit, was gender, age, stuff like that. This is, again, important for us because when we're talking about these identifiers, a lot of people don't even think about them as identifiers, but they all play its role, especially when you're talking about really elderly patients. If you want to tell a story about a 102-year-old man that was at your local hospital, how many 102-year-old men live in your area? Or women, for that matter, too. So when you talk about this, don't include a specific age or at least change the age significantly so it no longer matches. But again, this is still that little gray zone that could sometimes be a little bit of getting you in trouble if you don't think about this all the way. So that's why it's worth just keeping this in the back of your mind about how do you share this information. Another thing that kind of ties in, especially when you have the rare health conditions, so maybe it's a cystic fibrosis patient or someone with some weird genetic disorder, don't include that specifically unless it relies directly on your case, and then be extremely cautious. Try and change as many things as possible. Maybe talk about how it's from a different time or stuff like that, but really avoid this when possible. Because again, this can potentially identify a patient. If you have only one of a couple of these in the area that you work at, this can quickly get people to recognize who it is. So again, just assume that your information is not private, that people can figure this out. And if you work on that, you can avoid a lot of the headaches from this when someone accidentally comes across this or purposely is looking for these types of violations that, hey, I didn't include anything about the 18 identifiers. I've made sure to modify my cases enough so I don't have the images, I don't have the names, I don't have the dates, I don't have the location. All these things you can get rid of. But ultimately, just make sure you're changing as much as possible. And really, like I said, the best case that you can do is just make everything up. Don't use any of the original stuff. Get the ideas from the original cases. That's what I usually do, is I get some ideas, but then I change the cases enough so it's not really anyone that I specifically have in mind. And some people will say, well, that's kind of fake, but a lot of times you can actually, you have enough experience where you can talk about this. But these are all just simple things. I wouldn't necessarily say they're common sense, because apparently they're not, because people are getting in trouble for this. So just think things through. And in most cases, if you want to post it, don't. I know someone who talks about how they will keep something for at least a week before they talk about it. They just kind of hold on to it, and then they look at it later and see, is this something I even want to talk about? And this may be something from a year ago, but they want to post it now. Well, they have this kind of week that is a probationary period. Let me recheck this later. Let me see if I'm still in the good on this, or have someone else look at it. But ultimately, you need to review your HIPAA policy. I am not an attorney. I am not a legal expert when it comes to HIPAA. These are just some of the things that HIPAA specifically mentions and things I have seen that have worked. I just want to try and help people out so they don't accidentally violate this, because it's a huge deal. Big penalties that you can deal with when you screw this up. And I don't want anyone to be in that boat. And so I just simply want you all to listen. Realize there are easy things to change: age, gender, location, names, images, all this kind of stuff. Just take it out. And best is, like I said, just make something up. It's not that hard. Use your imagination. Promise you can do it. So I feel like I've rambled on enough about this. It is something that I truly believe is important, and I would love any other suggestions, things that you guys do to help keep things HIPAA compliant. And until next time, continue to provide total care everywhere.